Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the resignation of the Pope, an unusual occurrence that has not happened for 600 years. Anthea Butler, a professor of religious studies and graduate chair in the Department of Religious Studies at the University of Pennsylvania, joins us to discuss who might succeed Pope Benedict, whose relatively brief tenure was beset by scandals and shrinking church attendance and finances in Europe and North America. Then we'll discuss the issue that Pope Benedict most strenuously opposed, the ordination of women. Erin Seiss Hanna, the executive director of the Women's Ordination Conference, joins us to explain the Pope's hostility to the idea of women being ordained into the Catholic priesthood and his crackdown on American nuns. She has been detained by the Italian police 5 times for peaceful protests against the Vatican. Then finally, with Senator Lindsey Graham promising to block John Brennan's nomination to head up the CIA unless the administration comes clean on Benghazi, we'll examine what really happened in Benghazi with author and journalist Robert Young Pelton. And we will discuss a new e-book by 2 Special Forces veterans, Benghazi, The Definitive Report, which claims to have the answers, along with who was behind the palace coup that ended David Petraeus's career. And joining us now is Anthea Butler, who's a professor of religious studies and graduate chair in the Department of Religious Studies at the University of Pennsylvania. Her most recent book, Women in the Church of God in Christ, Making a Sanctified World, chronicles the history of African-American women's religious lives and civic engagement in the Church of God in Christ, the largest Pentecostal denomination in the United States. Professor Butler's forthcoming book is The Gospel According to Sarah, How Sarah Palin and the Tea Party Are Galvanizing the Religious Right. Welcome to Background Briefing, Anthea Butler.
Ah, thank you. Thank you, Ian.
And the resignation of the Pope, the first resignation of a Pope in 600 years, the last one was in 1415, has taken the Catholic world by surprise. What's your sense of, is there a real reason apart from the stated one, which is ill health or failing health?
There could be another reason, but we won't know it. Ill health is probably the easiest thing for Pope Benedict to say at this point, and that would be very true. There are, however, a lot of things that have led up to this resignation, I think, and I would say the sum total of the toll on his health is probably the reason why he's leaving.
And how much would that have to do with the question of abuse? Because when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, before he became the Pope, he was the recipient of just an endless stream of bad news coming into his office about sexual abuse by priests, particularly in the United States, but all around the world. And he apparently tried to do something about it, but the previous pope, who he succeeded, simply couldn't get his head around it or wasn't interested or whatever the reasons, I'm not entirely sure. But as head of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, he was in the position of basically dealing with sexual abuse. And do you think that, one, the fact that it's gone on and if not gotten worse in his tenure indicates that maybe that is an example of what's weighed him down or worn him down?
Well, I think that's one example. And I think to sort of clarify, Benedict, you know, before as Cardinal Ratzinger, was over the CDF, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. So a lot of the rules that were put into place were rules that were put into place by him, okay? So we can't sort of let him off the hook entirely in a certain kind of way to say this wore him down, because he's actually reaping what has happened since he was over the CDF and then became the Pope. So that's one way to look at this. I do think that it has weighed heavily on his papacy. And this papacy has had a series of terrible things that have happened. You've had the sex abuse scandal. You've had, the Vatican Bank scandal. You've had his personal butler leak information out to the press and to somebody who was writing a book. And so I think there's just been a constant drip and a constant sort of mismanagement, as it were, of the situation. And that's really difficult to do when you're younger, but when you're past 80, that's really difficult.
Well, of course, it strikes me as a huge irony, Anthea Butler, that 2 cardinals who were caught up in the sex abuse scandal and who manifestly failed in protecting children and at the same time coddling priests were the Irish Cardinal Sean Brady and the Los Angeles Cardinal Roger Mahoney, both of whom will be voting on the new pope. How does that strike you?
Yes, they will be. And as that's the case, both of them having had a lot to do with this current sex scandal in the church, I think will have a bearing on how they will look around and decide, you know, and you have to search your conscience and hope that, you know, in church language, the Holy Spirit will lead for a name, that I think they'll be looking for somebody who can help shepherd the church through that process and through the process of healing. Right now, this has really taken a lot of people out of the church in North America and in Europe, and I think that it will be imperative on those cardinals, especially from those two regions of the world, to think about voting for a pope that will be able to help navigate the mess that the church is in right now with the sex abuse scandal.
But the problem has always been that these church leaders, like Mahoney, they're all about healing errant priests and sending them off to retreats. And their priority seems to be to coddle the priests and not bring justice to the victims. And that's why they're in trouble. So, and there's no, I mean, as much as Mahoney has expressed great contrition, are you satisfied that they've learned? I mean, how many years does it take to learn? And how many billions of dollars do they have to fork out before they learn?
Yeah, well, I mean, personally, no, I'm not satisfied. I've been very critical of Pope Benedict XVI. I mean, very critical of a lot of things that I've written. So, no, I haven't been satisfied. And I will say this, though, as a historian, the Catholic Church does not move very rapidly. You're talking about a large structural institution that is all about being right, and they can't see when they're wrong. And when you set up rules that continue in perpetuity to continue to do the same things decade after decade after decade, you know, you find out about something, you try to squelch it, you send the priest away to get some help, they come back, you know, you move them to another parish, so everybody forgets that, and you start this whole cycle over again, which is how it was always done. It's very difficult to change that system. But, you know, I live in Philadelphia, so I can bring up one thing here I think is really important. Philadelphia is the first place in the United States that actual diocesan administrator was put on trial and convicted. And that trial ended, I believe, like last June. And a Monsignor who was doing all of these moving around of priests that had been, you know, abusing, actually is in prison right now. And so I think that what is happening in this particular round is something very different. And what's happening this round is that administrators are being convicted, and that has made a lot more cardinals and bishops nervous because they could be held accountable for the things that they've done.
Again, I'm speaking with Anthea Butler, who's a professor of religious studies and the graduate chair in the Department of Religious Studies at the University of Pennsylvania. And we're talking about the Pope resigning for the stated reason of failing health. We don't know exactly the extent of his health issues, do we? It's possible he has a terminal illness, is it not?
Yeah, no, it is possible. But, you know, as I'd like to say, you know, people usually, you die in the chair. I mean, everybody who gets the job knows this, right? And so, you know, I want to bring up something that everybody's been quoting today. Everybody's looked at the 1415 date, I believe, which is when we had three different popes and somebody had to step down. That's not really a resignation. That's being asked to step down because one of those people aren't really the pope. So actually the person we need to be looking at is a pope back in the 1200s who was in for 5 months. And what is interesting about this is that this pope, Celestine V, his grave was visited by Pope Benedict XVI. When he visited that grave 2 years ago, he laid his pallium on the tomb and left it there sort of as it were, like an offering. And so I think that it has been in the back of this man's mind the whole time that he was going to resign, and that he knew he was only going to be pope for only so long.
Well, if that's the case, is he capable, or is it within tradition to groom a successor, or do you have to leave that up to the College of Cardinals?
You got to leave that up to the college, and you can't, you know, you cannot interfere. I think he has set one thing in motion, though, by resigning, and I think what he set in motion is that the fact that when they go into that room, they're not going to elect maybe a 77 or 78-year-old like they did the last time. I think they have to elect somebody younger, and that will be on everyone's mind in that room.
And Andrea Butler, you mentioned earlier the church in the United States, its membership is diminishing, and I think a lot of it's as a result of the child sex abuse scandal in the church, and in general, this sort of jihad against the nuns. Didn't that really backfire? I think that offended a lot of American Catholics, the idea.
Yeah, it really did. And I mean, this yeah, as you cited, this jihad against the nuns has, you know, it hasn't really stopped. Let's just say that. But let's say that the next pope perhaps could pick this up and turn it around in a very different way. They could just let it go. And I think they would be very wise to let it go, because these are the people who've been very faithful in terms of the church and in terms of doing the kinds of services that many of our cardinals and bishops in this nation have sort of forgotten about, because they've been so political lately. So I do think that hopefully, I hope at least, that this will be a turning point.
And what explains the conservatism amongst the male clergy, the bishops and the cardinals, and indeed several, I think, the entire conservative bloc on the Supreme Court are also Catholics, and you're an African-American woman. What explains the extraordinary conservatism of Justice Thomas, and there was another African-American politician who was extremely Catholic in an aggressive right-wing way, Alan Keyes, who actually ran against Barack Obama and lost, allowing Obama to become U.S. Senator.
Well, I think that, you know, when you see a lot of these politicians who are Catholic that really have hardened to the right, this is indicative of a move that's been happening within the church. And so with the Catholic Church getting closer to the religious right, especially in this country, and, you know, aligning with the right in terms of pro-life and other kinds of issues like the health care mandate and all of this, what you see is this whole sense of the conservatism that's in the church is also playing out for conservative politicians who are also Catholic. And so it's easy for them to both get support from, you know, church officials who are on the more conservative side, and it's also a way for them to push up their bona fides with voters.
So given the fact that this pope, who he's only been in for 7 years, I think, and the previous pope, who was in for a long time, have appointed so many conservative bishops and cardinals, isn't it highly unlikely that you'll have anything but a conservative as the next pope?
It's highly likely the next pope will be a conservative. However, I think that conservatism of this next pope, because the deck has been so stacked by Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI, that hopefully it will be someone who has a little more compassion and be a little more savvy. And what I mean by that is someone who will be looking to try to heal the rifts in the church. And I think for a lot of Catholics, the pope resigning is a grave thing, and it brings up a lot of angst for people, because what you're used to is a pope dying and you go through this process. But this resignation, with all the other things that have been happening in the church in the last 4 to 5 years and, you know, beyond, has really put the church on a rocky footing. Now, it's a billion people, and it doesn't have to be on a rocky footing, but I do think that the next pope who comes in will have to be very direct and very much in touch with the people within the church. And I mean that all over the world. It can't be someone who hides behind the Vatican walls and tries to hope that all these things blow away, because they won't.
Again, I'm speaking with Anthea Butler, who's a professor of religious studies and graduate chair in the Department of Religious Studies at the University of Pennsylvania, and the author of Women in the Church of God in Christ, Making a Sanctified World. And she's also working on a book, The Gospel According to Sarah, How Sarah Palin and the Tea Party Are Galvanizing the Religious Right. Now, it's obvious that, in fact, in many ways, this current pope who just announced his resignation, which is highly unprecedented, not unprecedented, but highly unusual, his main platform was to revive the Catholic Church in Europe and to sort of stem the tide of secularism. And he clearly has failed in that regard. And the more liberal churches in the U.S. and Canada and Europe are declining much faster than the conservative ones are. But in the so-called global south, the reverse is true. Although you do have a more conservative church, people are flocking in particular in Latin America and Africa. So what are the chances of the next pope coming from Latin America or Africa or somewhere in the developing world?
I think there's a good chance. I think if when the conclave meets, I think one of the first things they'll have to think about is that what Benedict put a lot of his stock into was trying to revive Europe, and Europe is, you know, secular. And that just was not happening. And then you could see this attrition that continued to happen once more the sexual scandals came out. You have this huge amount of people who left in Germany, large amounts in Ireland and other places. So that's not where the fulcrum, the balance point of the church is anymore. The balance part of the church is in Latin America, Asia, and Africa. And if they are smart, if they want to have a church that can be more unified, they will pick somebody from that area of the world. One of the names that has come up is Cardinal Peter Turkson of Ghana, who could be one of the top successors, and who is very, very popular there. There are a few other figures. There's a cardinal in the Philippines who looks like he might be sort of interesting. There's even been a name that's been floated from Canada, Cardinal Mark Ouellette. So I think it will be somebody interesting. Now, they could go another way, and I'll just say this because I think it's worth saying. They could decide that because this has been such an upheaval that they might go for somebody who has been close in to the papacy so that they'll be able to have a smooth transition. And that could be another European or at least an Italian. That could be Cardinal Bertone. And that might be an interesting way to think about it. I don't think that's what's going to happen, though. I'd put a pretty good sum of money on this and say that it's not going to be a European.
Well, just in closing, Anthea Butler, it seems to me, though, that almost most of the church's problems would go away if they ordained women and allowed priests to marry. And that's just not going to happen. And if ever there was a pope that was hostile to the ordination of women, it is this current pope who's just stepping down.
Absolutely, very hostile to it. I mean, I think that he has had an enormous amount of a sense in which he did not want to even open the door a crack to women's ordination. However, this is what they are faced with. The next pope will be faced with continued attrition in ranks of priests, also faced with dwindling numbers in North America and Europe, and that's where the money is. So that's going to be part of the problem. And also, there are many women who've been theologically trained who would be perfectly fine as priests. So I think that what the church will have to face is the dwindling numbers of men who want to live a celibate lifestyle, the realization that people from the Anglican Communion and others have been allowed to come in and become Catholic priests with their families, and that's made a lot of people very angry. And the fact that the numbers just aren't there anymore. You've had a lot of seminaries to close, and here in the United States we have a lot of parishes that have priests from other countries that don't know, you know, America very well, and that's been a big problem in the closing of the parishes. And the church is losing money hand over fist. There's many dioceses that are trying to apply for bankruptcy and everything else. So when you put all of that together, you need people who are willing and able and ready to take on the challenges of the priestly ministry. And I think women can do that as well as men can.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us, Anthea Butler.
Thank you so much.
Again, I've been speaking with Anthea Butler, who's a professor of religious studies and graduate chair in the Department of Religious Studies at the University of Pennsylvania. Her most recent book is Women in the Church of God in Christ, Making a Sanctified World, which chronicles the history of African-American women's religious lives and civic engagement in the Church of God in Christ, the largest Pentecostal denomination in the United States. Professor Butler's forthcoming book is The Gospel According to Sarah, How Sarah Palin and the Tea Party Are Galvanizing the Religious Right. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking further about the ordination of women in the Catholic Church.
God is a concept by which we measure our pain. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.